Yeah, you know, this tumor lysis thing is interesting because if you think about it, it's kind of a consequence of the drug's activity. It's coming about because so many cells are getting killed. So it's sort of like a good thing, but maybe I guess it just happens too quickly. Can you talk practically, though, about what are some of the specific consequences of tumor lysis syndrome and how you prevent or treat that?
So what happens in tumor lysis is that the cells die off. They die off rapidly, and so that releases phosphorus, which can cause a variety of different problems. It can release potassium, which causes a variety of different problems, including arrhythmias. It can release uric acid, which can affect the kidneys and cause renal failure and start a cycle of then the electrolytes are more out of whack because the kidneys are not working well, etc. And so that can lead to complications of renal failure, really, and electrolyte abnormalities that can be risky with regard to arrhythmias and other problems. So the most important thing is to kind of be able to predict it and to watch for it, not to give the patient the drug and then say, come back in a month, but actually see them again the next day or whenever it's appropriate. And so the management of tumor lysis typically is monitoring and dealing with these lab abnormalities as they come up, dealing with things to lower the potassium or the phosphorus if those go elevated, and largely treating with hydration, with fluids, either orally or intravenously, and giving allopurinol to help prevent the aspects of the uric acid damage, or in the higher risk patients, giving them rasburicase, which is a recombinant urate oxidase inhibitor that basically affects uric acid levels and is given in very high risk patients. So in the outpatient setting, patients with a white count of less than about 25,000 and small tumor burden in the range of a couple centimeters, you might take that patient, you might give them their first dose, and again, there are very clear guidelines on exactly how to do this. There's a blister pack that gives you the first week's pill, the second week pill, etc. But in that low-risk patient, you might check their labs, make sure everything's in good shape, give them their first pill, maybe have them come back that afternoon, check their labs again, have them come the next day, check it again. And then at several time points, when you go through the first week, the next week you're going to go up, you kind of repeat the first day process again to make sure that that first day, which is the higher risk day, everything goes smoothly. In the intermediate group where the nodes are bigger and the white count is higher, you might watch that patient a little more closely, check the lab, still do it as an outpatient, maybe give them some IV fluids in the clinic. And then the highest risk patients, those that have high white counts and bulky disease, let's say 10 centimeter nodes, those are people that you would probably admit to the hospital each time you raise the dose the first day of that week cycle to keep them out of trouble and to watch them more closely.
So, as you said, I don't know if I've ever seen a package insert that has a table like that that tells you kind of exactly what to do. So, it's really helpful as long as you know that it's there.